Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Christianity has always been under attack because there is a Satan the devil, as we have seen in the series we did, Satan the Devil. And he inspires men to doubt God, disbelieve God, deny God, deny his existence. And the ones that he wants to do this are those who are religious, and those who are supposed to take the word of God and understand it and live by it and teach other people to do it. But they don't do that because too many of those in Christianity today and in ages past do not have the Spirit of God, did not know God, and had a form of Christianity that denied and rejected God the Father and Jesus Christ. Even so much so that Lloyd Gearing writes, well, how did we come to have what is known as the death of God? So he writes on page 51 that this was William of Ockham, 1285 to 1349 A.D. And he expounded that it's impossible to prove the existence of God. Really, his whole creation proves him, and we'll see that's what he challenges people to do. Or he also said, or to discover the attributes of God by human reason. Well, now, one part of that is true, and that is by human reason alone. But now, with all of the understanding concerning the fantastic depths of creation that God has made, and the intricacy of the smallest cell is a reflection of the universe itself, and everything that is made testifies to the existence and creation of God. And he can be proved. You prove him by his existence. You prove him by design. You prove him by the fact that there is life, because life can only come from life. It cannot come from something that is inert or dead. And by the word of God. This is why we are told, prove all things. Now, what we do here on Church at Home is, you open your Bible, you read it, you study it, go along with the topics that we have, but also prove it from the Bible yourself. And it can be proved. Now, also, to add to that, there's fulfilled prophecy that proves God. Answered prayers proves God's existence. And there are a lot of people, even in the pulpits, who doubt the existence of God. Let's come here to Isaiah 45. And if you can disprove this, then you can disprove God. And if the fact is, if you can disprove God, you don't exist. See, because everything that we have and everything on the earth testifies to the existence of God. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. Here's what God says of himself. Here's the challenge that he gives to every man. And because men don't do this, they don't know who Jesus Christ is, and therefore they end up rejecting God the Father and Jesus Christ because they don't know him. They don't love him. They don't obey him. So why would God do anything for them? He won't. But he may do some things to them as a result of their sins and their arrogance of saying, there is no God. Oh, we all came from warm slime. Really? Isaiah 45 and verse 5, God says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God besides me. That is, Lord God to Israel. There is a God the Father, who was not revealed in the Old Testament, and that's why Jesus Christ came, to reveal the Father. Now, we'll talk about all of this as we go along. God says to Israel, I have clothed you, though you have not known me. Why? Because they rejected God. Same way with these atheists. Do they wear clothes? Yes. Well, where did all the clothes come from? Well, from what God created and what men were able to do with it to manufacture it. But you couldn't have clothes unless God created the things from which to make clothes, right? And you couldn't be here unless God created you, right? So what you need to do is go back and go through the series, Why Were You Born? And that tells you the purpose of life. You see, here at Church at Home, what you're going to find, one video segment builds upon another video segment, and then those series, other series build upon that, so that there is a continuous understanding and teaching of the Word of God that you can put together. Here a little, there a little, and put it together precept upon precept and line upon line, as we have with the rules of Bible study, and come to understand and prove that God exists. See, because once you prove it, then you can have faith. Just like if you bought a car. You prove it, and you've taken it up to the highest point of speed that you desire to go, and you have proved that that car will do it. Well, likewise with God. He wants you to prove that he exists. He wants you to know that he exists. And he wants you to know that he has created you for himself and that you need him. Now let's read it here. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, there is none besides me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Do we have light? Yes, we do. Do we have darkness? Yes, we do. God said he created it. Do you think it came by accident? Do you think that all of a sudden out there somewhere in the vastness of the darkness of the universe that there was this little teeny pea-sized whatever it was, and all of a sudden there was a whoom, the Big Bang. And then billions and billions and billions of years, we all evolved from the Big Bang. Well, God says to all atheists, go get your own Big Bang. And go create your own dirt. Don't start with what I've already made and then declare I don't exist. Now let's come down here to verse 8. Drop down from above, O heavens, and let the clouds pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, let salvation bear fruit. Let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Now there is the contrast. As we have seen from Romans 1, when God manifested it to them that he was God, what did they do? They rejected it. Now, if they would come to God, then verse 8 would occur. They would have righteousness, they would have peace, they would have understanding, they would have love, they would obey his laws and commandments. We would have societies that would not be like we have today. Now let's see what happens when you fight God, which is what Lloyd Gearing is doing. Woe to him who fights with the one who formed him. How did you get here? Well, you're the product of your mother and father. And God gave them the ability to create you through the power of procreation that he gave to Adam and Eve and said, multiply and replenish the earth and have dominion over it. You can have no other answer for human life. Verse 9, shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or your work? He has no hands. Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what are you laboring over? That is, in bringing forth children. Doesn't come any other way. Oh, but today we can clone. Really, but what do you start with? You have to start with what God has already created. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. Let's come over here to Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer, even the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, that is for Israel, there is no God. And at this time, the Father had not yet been revealed, and that's one of the reasons that Jesus came. And so the one who is Lord God of the Old Testament is the one who became Jesus Christ of the New Testament, and we will get to that in due time. But we have to understand the state of the Christian religion today, and we have to understand the thinking that men have and where it's going and why everything is falling down into the abyss. Verse 7, and who is I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order before me? Come, God says challenge, set it in order, bring it here so we can see it. Tell us how great you are. Tell us what the future is going to be. And the things that are coming and shall be, let them declare it to us. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared it? So you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no other rock. I know not one. God says, bring it forth. God also gives his challenge. Isaiah 40. Let's pick it up in verse 12. Now think about it. The next time you watch a video clip of the blue earth, and it shows the heavens and the earth, and it shows the nations and the lands, and it shows the people and the animals, and the things in the depths of the sea, which God says, he made it all. Here is the challenge. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span? And who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills a balance? What man? Step forward. Every atheist, step forward. Declare it. Show us what you can do. Show us that you are God. You can't do it. You may reject him, but he gives you every breath you breathe. Verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or who was his counselor that he might instruct him? Tell God, go instruct God. Men can't even figure out the sum total of a single cell. Yet look at everything that God has created. Beginning with the vastness of the universe. Let's go on. With whom did he take counsel, or who instructed him? Did he go to the rabbis and say, oh, well, tell me now what you think? Or did he go to the great intellectual men of the world and say, oh, please give me counsel. I need some help. No. And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him. All right, all of you who reject God, all of you who change the truth of the word of God, go to God and tell him that his law is evil. He abolished it. Oh, God says it's holy and perfect and righteous and true. Do you believe that? Now, I ask many times here at church at home, what do you really believe? Now, we have segments that we've covered how to find God. Yes, God knows you're here. God knows the troubles that you go through. God knows your fears and doubts. You come to him, his way. He'll answer you. He'll show you the way. Look into his word, study it and believe it and know that it's God's personal message to you. as well as to every human being on the earth. Now, here's how God views the earth. All men get all up in power and empires and might and nations and presidents and counselors and generals and popes and cardinals and important people. Here's what God says. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. Well, next time you have a little eyedropper and a bucket, make sure it's completely dry. Doesn't matter the size of it. If you don't have a bucket, take a big jar. If you don't have a jar, take a cup or a glass. Take your eyedropper, drop in one drop, and look at that. That's what the nations are to God compared to his power and his might. Like a drop of water in a bucket. And are counted as the small dust of the scales. After everything's taken off the scales, whew. Now, with the coming one world government and what the prophecies show that are going to happen, and we did a whole series, many segments on prophecy, so you go back and you go over those. They want a one world system where all nations get along and all are under one great leader. Well, that's going to be the biggest satanic deception that has ever happened. So how does God view the nations? The nations that reject him, the nations that go from him, the churches that leave him, those who profess Christ but deny him. Now notice verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you compare God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? You're going to make an idol? You're going to be like the Dalai Lama? Oh, they ran a special on the Dalai Lama and showed about his life. You know, the chief of the Tibetan religion, a Buddhist. And in the interview, oh, he talks about compassion, he talks about love, and people think it's so wonderful, but what spirit does he really represent? And so the reporter was talking to him. And the Dalai Lama had a little statue of a little Buddha sitting on his desk. And he pointed to the little Buddha and he told the reporter while he was laughing, as the Dalai Lama can do, and people are charmed by his laughter. He said, "That's my boss." Let's see what God says. What about idols? You go to a church or cathedral where there are idols, statues, crosses, pictures, paintings, burning of candles. That's not of God. Let's read verse 19. The workman melts a graven image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. Make it beautiful. Yes, look at all of the great statues and idols of the past. Where is the temple of the goddess Diana? Destroyed. What happened to the Parthenon in Athens? Are those gods living? They couldn't even keep from having a man get some explosives in the late 1800s because they used the Parthenon to store ammunition. And unfortunately, it blew the images of some of the gods off the fresco that depicted how they believed the earth came into existence. Really? How strong were they? Has not God destroyed every idol? You go back and read the account when the Israelites sinned and the Ark of the Covenant was taken and captured by the Philistines. They put it in the house of Dagon. And in the morning they came, found Dagon, fell on his face because, you see, God let it be known. Dagon is no god. So they put him back up. Oh, well, why couldn't Dagon get himself back up? Well, if he's a god, why couldn't he get back up? So they got him back up. Next morning they came, and he fell down, and his arms were broken. Oh, poor little Dagon. Now then, he talks about one who lives in the jungle or lives where they're in a forest, okay? He who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot, and he seeks for a skillful workman for himself to prepare a graven image that will not totter. Oh, yes, totem poles. You know, people like to listen to what the native religions are. You know what they all are? They get around, they go, ong, 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 ong. They don't even know what they're saying. Dancing around with feathers and with loin straps and with drums and with spears and with all of the things that they have. Dancing around into a frenzy until they're lightheaded and stupid, know nothing. This is God. You worship a tree. You make a totem pole. Well, we still have that today, don't we? It's called the greeny weenies. The way you have peace of mind is go hug a tree. You ever tried that? Go hug a tree. If you get the wrong one, you're going to have ants crawling all over you. So God says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings the rulers to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. And all these people and all the wise and all the elite come and tell us, we'll tell you there's no God. You don't need that. You're just kind of stupid and ignorant, you know. Well, if you drop down before an idol, you are stupid and ignorant. But you see, where are the thresholds? Where are the strongholds of the idols? In the minds of those men who worship themselves and their intellect and worship their theories and have their colleagues come along and tell each other how wonderful we are. Oh, we can agree there is no God. Aren't we wonderful? God says you're vain and egotistical and arrogant and stupid. God says, challenge me. Go ahead. Take these scriptures. Challenge God. Show him you're greater than he is. Show him you know more than him. Show him that his word is not true. Come, stand before him and deny that he exists. God will answer you, maybe not right then, but his answer is coming, just like he did to Harold Camping. Made the pronouncement, lost his ability to speak. Isn't that interesting? So these are some things that we need to understand, what the world has done to God, the Father, and Jesus Christ. And in order to understand that, then we can come to understand who and what Jesus is and why the Word of God is the Word of God and why our lives depend upon it. So take the Word of God as a personal message to you and read and study it, because he's going to hold you accountable for it. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, and we have many up-to-date sermons on prophecy, what's happening, answered prayer, love of God, faith of God, hope of God, detailed sermons you can go through. So this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.